Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries. If you want to look us up on the web or re-listen to this program, you can find us at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning, I want to look at the perils of religion. If you are in university or if you're related to someone in university, you will know that this is midterm exam period. If you know someone in high school, you may know that they have just come through exams. I've done my fair share of exams. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you study and you study and you study for an exam, only to get into the exam and find that you've studied all the wrong stuff. If you've ever had that feeling, then you'll get where the Apostle Paul is coming from in Scripture today. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 3. Paul had started the church in Philippi around 50 AD. A decade has now passed, and Paul is sitting in a Roman prison, and he decides to write a letter. The church of Philippi is one of his favorite churches. In other letters to churches, Paul calls for corrective action. Paul doesn't do that to the church of Philippi. He just constantly affirms and teaches them. He also shares a little of his spiritual journey with them. Today we get to peek into his journey. Paul essentially says, I spent a lot of my life preparing for the wrong exam. What you need to know about Paul is that he grew up in a religious home, he went to a religious school, and he always was a religious person. Paul says that the most important thing to me has always been, what does God think of me? How do I get him to approve of me? How do I get a thumbs up from God? The reality is that Paul was asking the questions that, well, most religions ask. And the Greek and Romans asked it of their gods, you know, by sacrificing to their gods to ensure that the gods were pleased and they got good crops. And if not pleased, at least appeased, and they wouldn't be angry with them. Muslims have their five pillars, including declaring that God, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet, and praying five times a day and fasting during Ramadan. And doing this, they hope to please God and get a thumbs up. Paul said, as a Jew, I was trying to get God's approval by following the law. And he studied the law, he followed the law, he interpreted the law, he lived the law, but he put his confidence in how he followed the rules set out in the first five books of the Bible. But now, he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, we rely on what Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reasons to have confidence in their own effort, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Paul says, I was as good as anyone, and I was better than most at keeping the law of God. And that's where I put my confidence. No one could fault me for my effort. I was the right kind of person who did the right kind of thing, and I was ready for my spiritual exam. I was good. I was confident. I was ready. You know, there's a 21st century Christian equivalent to this. We don't have formal Pharisees anymore. But the equivalent would be to say, I have confidence in my own efforts. And the 21st century Paul would say something like, well, I grew up in church. I was dedicated. I was baptized. I went to Sunday school every Sunday and earned a badge for perfect attendance. I memorized the books of the Bible and always showed up at vacation Bible school. I went to Sunday school and I went to youth. I read the Bible every day. I prayed every day. I went through my prayer list for everyone I knew who had a need. I went to church on Sundays and listened to the sermon. I even took notes, and I was on the leadership team. I have taken my turn in the nursery and teaching Sunday school. I've attended a small group. I even help out at a drop-in center from time to time. 21st century Paul would have said, I'm ready for the exam. I'm pretty confident in what I've done. I've got a good track record. Well, religious human effort, it has been around forever. Paul tried it in the first century, and a lot of people try it in the 21st century. But then verse 7 notes the change. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. You know, I often feel sorry for people who are really religious. I'll pick on the Christian expression of religion instead of world religions because it's a little closer to home. But it amazes me what people do in the name of religion. I'm not just talking about the bad things like the Crusades where soldiers were promised that they would go straight to heaven if they were killed in the wars because they were fighting for in the name of God. I'm talking about the good things. I was reading a book about a journalist who came out of a war zone in order to try to get his head together. He decided to go on a pilgrimage and visit the monasteries of Greece. I found his description fascinating. He encountered some real followers of Christ in those monasteries. But he also encountered monks living in monasteries who were bitter and petty and didn't really display anything of the life of Christ. These monasteries were difficult to live in. The food wasn't all that good. The work was hard. The schedule was grueling. The discipline was harsh. Some of these brothers went through this for their religion, but it looked like it didn't bring them any closer to God. Here's the thing about religion. It is our attempt to get to God. But the good news that Jesus brought us is that God came to us. Our attempts to somehow get to God or somehow appease God or earn God's favor are, as Paul says, worthless. The good news about Jesus is that we can know God. But it's not through our religious observance. It's through what Jesus has done for us. Jesus, the man who is God, came and lived the perfect, sinless life. He was crucified on that cross. He took all the sins of the world, including your sin and my sin, upon himself. And then he died. And our sin was buried with him. On the third day, he rose to new life. And he offers this new life to anyone who will receive it. To receive this new life, you have to renounce all self-effort to earn God's favor. It's not your goodness or your works or your religious acts that earn God's favor. Instead, all the work has been done by Jesus. He took all that stood between you and God. If you renounce trusting in your own goodness and put your full trust in what Jesus has done, he has promised to give you his life, everlasting life. The way many people do this is they express their belief in Jesus in the words of a prayer. The prayer or the words aren't magic. It's the faith, the belief in what God has done that matters. They put faith in God and what Jesus has done. And if you put your weight on him, God responds. A prayer like, God, I recognize that all my goodness and all my attempts to get to you will never work. But I recognize that your son Jesus came and made a way for me to know you. Jesus, please take away my sin and everything that stands between God and me. I don't trust anything that I've done. I give you my life. And Lord, I ask that you would give me everlasting life. I'm trusting in you and you alone. A prayer, something like that, made in faith, applies the work that Jesus has done for you, to you. Your sin is forgiven. You're given a new life. God's Spirit is placed inside you. This is the most important decision you can make, to trust Christ rather than to trust your own goodness. If you haven't made that decision to trust Christ, then even as we listen to this song, I want to encourage you to take that step of faith. Use your own words to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. Ask him to come into your life. Let him know that you plan to follow him. Give him your life. Jesus always responds to prayers of faith like that. As you consider that, we're going to listen to the song All the Way My Savior Leads Me by Chris Tomlin in his album Hello Love.
My Savior leads me.
desk beside. How could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. Cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart.
Now, I know that many of you have put your faith in Christ, and what I have said is only a reminder to you. But here's what I believe you need to know. We begin our new life by faith, and we continue our life by faith. You know, the church in the town of Galatia had started by faith, and then someone came along and said, you need to follow the law. Paul wrote them a letter and said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Paul says, listen, you can't do that. You can't start by faith and then hope to continue by human effort. Here's what I've observed. The longer one is a Christian, the easier it is to become more religious and less Christian. The longer one is a Christian, the easier it is to become more religious and less Christian. When we first become a Christian and we discover who Jesus is, there's often an excitement about that. We have a hunger to know about him and connect with him and tell others about what we have found. But like most things, after a while, the passion fades, or maybe the right thing to say is it matures. It's kind of like getting married. The passion experience in the first years of marriage is different than the 10th year of marriage. That doesn't mean that your marriage is passionless, but you fall into a routine of living together. What matters is your relationship is attachment. Are you still emotionally connected to each other? The quality of your marriage is determined by your emotional connection to each other. You can have a date night every week and work like a well-oiled machine together, but if you're not connected, it doesn't matter. You can argue and disagree with each other, but if you are connected, it doesn't matter. But when it comes right down to it, the quality of your marriage is determined by how connected you are to each other. It is the same for the quality of our faith. We go to church, we pray regularly, we read our Bibles regularly. Some of us know that we should pray more than we do and read more scripture than we do, and we feel guilty about that. You know, we try to live good lives, we try to be kind to our neighbor, we let people at work know we are Christian. We live Christianly, but our faith becomes more about routine. Now, there's nothing wrong with routine. Routine helps stabilize life. Routine helps us live life well. If you want a better life, have better routines. Routines are good. Having a routine of prayer every day and scripture every day and going to church every week, those are positive things. But it moves from gospel to religion when our routines become what is important. The gospel isn't about our religious practices or even about being good. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul from Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yes, everything else is worthless, he says, when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I want you to hear in that scripture what Paul's goals are. Verse 8 says, he wants to know the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Verse 8 again, so that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, that I might become one with him. Verse 9, that I might become righteous through faith. Verse 10, Paul says, I want to know Christ. Verse 10, I want to experience the mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Verse 11 says, I want to share in his suffering. Verse 11 says, I want to experience the resurrection. The whole point of the gospel is about walking in relationship with Christ and then walking that out in this life. It is about becoming one with Christ. Christ is in us and we are in Christ. It's about our attachment to Christ. It's about our connection to Christ. The thing about our religious routines is that they can be about attachment to Christ or they can become about our attachment to the routine themselves. You can see evidence of whether a church is attached to Christ or attached to a routine when a church tries to change to be more effective for the gospel. Some churches have been known to split over the color of the carpet or change in the music or even small changes to the building. We get attached not to Jesus, but to our religious routines or our religious buildings or our religious habits. But this passage calls us to do a heart check. It calls us to ask ourselves the question of what are we relying on our own efforts for? Or are we relying on what Jesus has done? So let me ask you the question. How is your relationship with Jesus doing these days? When I am mentoring people, I often ask that question. And I'm amazed how often I get the religious reply back. They'll tell me about how their daily prayer life is doing, or isn't doing, as the case may be. They'll tell me about the good things they are doing. They give me the religious reply. But the question really is, do you know Christ better now than you did 6 months ago? Do you sense a oneness with him? Does he have all of you? How are you experiencing his power in your life? How are you depending on him, putting your faith in him? What is your desire like for him? Paul says, I want to know him. Does that express your heart? Or have the routines of life drowned out your desires? Now, let me quickly throw this in. There is a big difference between the dark night of the soul, where we want Jesus but can't seem to find him, and so we do all the right things waiting for him to break through. There's a big difference between that and doing all the right things but not really wanting him. So what do you do if you don't know Jesus better now? What do you do if you are not growing in oneness and experiencing his power? What if you're not really trusting him? What if you're just going through the motions? What do you do if you know that you don't really want him, but you know that you need to want him? The only way to go is with an old-fashioned word called repentance. You go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for the state of my soul. Let me tell you about God. He is full of mercy. He knows your heart. This isn't going to come as a surprise to him. He wants to be in relationship with you. Tell him about what you want and what you want him to be. Tell him where you're at. He knows anyways. So say, Lord, I want to want you. Then you make space in your life. It may even look as it did before. It may look like daily prayer and Bible reading or going to church or all those good things. But the point is not those things, but that those things might be an expression of a heart that says, I want to know you. Let me read over what Paul wants and what our call is. Yes, everything else is worthless when I compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. How about you? Do you need to take your heart to God and say, here it is? For those of you who have never given your life to Christ up until now, trusting in your own goodness and in your own efforts, will you give your life to Christ? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and that you did everything that needs to be done. Lord, we ask that as people are listening to your word, that you would move us closer to you, move us away from the things that we just do to pretend that we're drawing closer to you, and help us actually to draw closer to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement, and keep us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. If you can help with that, we'd appreciate it, and please send a check to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO, or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been my pleasure to spend this Sunday morning with you. May you know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying presence. We're going to go out by listening to the music of Graham Kendrick, Knowing You.
Compared to this.
righteousness.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.